On today's special edition of The Connection, Skip Heitzig talks with Franklin Graham about his father, his recent trip to North Korea, and the recent typhoons in the Philippines.
Not only did you have the earthquake in Indonesia, but you had this typhoon that was in the Philippines. And there were two back-to-back typhoons. One came right over Manila, and the other went up in northern Luzon. But these typhoons dumped a record amount of rain on Manila, and the entire city, almost the entire city, was flooded. It was just a huge, huge disaster.
Welcome to The Connection with Skip Heitzig. Today, we take a break between series to talk with Franklin Graham, evangelist and founder of Samaritan's Purse, and oh yeah, of course, he's the son of Billy Graham. Skip Heitzig sits down in studio with Franklin to talk about how Samaritan's Purse is helping in the hard-hit areas of Indonesia and the Philippines, an area that has been rocked by earthquakes and typhoons. He also talks about the hope that the gift of a single shoebox can have in a child. And we'll begin today's interview right after we help you out with your Christmas shopping.
2,000 years ago, God came to earth in the flesh as the baby Jesus. 2,000 years later, questions about who he was and what he was really like still remain.
When Jesus Christ came into this world, history changed. It was the fulcrum of history up to this point. You might say the coming of Christ the first time was the hinge by which the door of time swings.
This Christmas, share answers to those with questions in the book Encounter by Skip Heitzig. The Gospels record Jesus' encounters with people from all walks of life. And by examining how Jesus treated people and how he responded to their needs, we can get a more complete picture of what it must have been like to be with him. Share a personal encounter with Jesus Christ this Christmas with the book Encounter, an update to Skip Heitzig's book, Jesus Up Close, when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. For a limited time, you can get Encounter, along with another book from Skip called Beyond the Summer of Love, for just $15. Or if you're looking for other gift ideas from Skip Heitzig, consider one of Skip's recent teaching series, like The Biography of God or From the Edge of Eternity. They're all specially priced for the holidays. And any order of $40 or more will also receive a free Connection 2010 calendar with photos taken by Skip Heitzig. Find out more when you call 1-800-922-1888.
All the info and a lot of other Christmas offers are available right now at connectionradio.org. You know, like his father, Franklin Graham is dedicated to taking the truth of Jesus Christ around the world. If you've ever seen Franklin in front of a microphone, whether it's with Larry King on CNN or a stadium full of people, he'll find a way to preach the gospel. On The Connection today, we'll hear his heart for evangelism and for people in need during today's special First Friday edition.
Take the time to make the connection. Take the time to make the connection.
So now, let's go in studio as Skip Heitzig sits down and chats with Franklin Graham and begins by discussing the recent typhoon in the Philippines.
Franklin, thanks for joining us today, first of all. It's great, always great to hear from you, especially since you just got back from a few places we're going to talk about. First of all, this fall has seen some real challenges for Samaritan's Purse. The tsunamis that have been going on in different parts of the world. Tell us what the disasters were and how you guys stepped up to the plate.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. It's always an honor to be with you folks there in Albuquerque, and have great love for the church and for the work and the ministry that God has called you to. The disasters we saw this fall in Indonesia where you had a 7.6 magnitude earthquake in Sumatra. Then they had aftershocks that were over 6.2. This is a difficult area to get to. First of all, Indonesia's being the world's largest Muslim country. Mm-hmm. For evangelical Christians, we are allowed in there, but it does create a little bit of difficulty. And what I mean by that is when we worked after the tsunami a few years ago, we had a great opportunity. We went in, did a tremendous amount of work, and we saw people give their lives to Christ. But eventually, you know, the complaints from the Muslims, especially the radical Muslims, that, you know, Christians were there telling people about Jesus Christ. And after a while, you know, we were not only persecuted, and they actually, you know, spread rumors and lies of things, but we just said, hey, we got to pull up and leave. It's getting too dangerous for our people. But after this particular earthquake hit, we decided, well, let's go back in. And it's funny, you know, even though there's difficulties, we were welcomed by the government, because they know that even though they don't agree with us as Christians and what we believe, they respect the fact that we do good work. And I believe it's important always, as a Christian, if we're going to go in the name of Jesus Christ, let's give our best. Let's don't give our second best. Mm-hmm. And there we were able to dispatch teams, and we distributed food. One of the problems when you have an earthquake, you know, people have lost their homes. People are living in makeshift shelters, and so we take hygiene kits. These would be just the basic necessities for keeping yourself clean, and because most of this stuff's been lost, and you know, people have dignity, they have pride, and not being able to brush their teeth, not being able to bathe, not able to shave, not able to care for themselves like that. So we package these kits and we distribute them to thousands of people. We also gave tools to help people just do basic repairs to their homes. And we focused on the remote villages, and many of them were only reached by helicopter. And that's where we wanted to work, where people were out of the mainstream as far as getting help and assistance. Then, of course, not only did you have the earthquake in Indonesia, but you had this typhoon mm-hmm. That was in the Philippines. And there were two back-to-back typhoons. One came right over Manila, and the other went up in northern Luzon. But these typhoons dumped a record amount of rain on Manila. And the entire city, almost the entire city, was flooded. It was just a huge, huge disaster. And we went in with working with over 100 churches. Not only did we distribute food to about 80,000 people, and here's another thing that's people don't understand: with water everywhere, none of it can you drink. It's all contaminated. And so being able to take in clean water, or to be able to provide a purification system that would provide clean water for people. And this is one of the things that we do at Samaritan's Purse, is we have these filtration systems that we can go into a disaster and we're able to put in clean water. And we still have teams in the Philippines handing out food to families, working with about 10,000 families that have just lost everything. And, of course, Western Samoa, again, in the Pacific, you know, Indonesia, the Philippines, and now Western Samoa, which is part of the United States. But it's in the Pacific. It's a long – these areas are a long way from us, mm-hmm. and they're not easy places to get to. And you've got to fly thousands of miles across Pacific Ocean to get to them. And so it's been a challenge just logistically to get to Western Samoa. We've got teams there providing, again, food to about a dozen villages, hygiene kits, blankets, mosquito nets, tools. And then one of the great things that we're able to give is plastic sheeting. After you've had a hurricane, earthquake, you've got to have a dry place that you can sleep, that you can live. And we use plastic sheeting. You can put it up in minutes. You can use bamboo. You can use just boards and stuff that you've gotten out of the rubble to make the frame. And then you stretch this plastic over it, and now you've got a temporary home. You can have your wife and your children, your kids. I mean, everybody can be in the dry. And that is extremely important. And we take this stuff in by the plane load. Mm. So it's that's one of the important things we do. But we still have people in Western Samoa. But these are just some of the areas in the Pacific that we've been able to work just this fall.
Let's talk about the church in Iraq. I've been there. I was there with a friend of yours, Sammy Dagger. In fact, we went over with Samaritan's Purse. Can you tell us about what's going on with believers there and well, what your work is?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's focus on where you were, of course, in Baghdad. And, of course, back when you were there, that was during the time of Saddam Hussein. And we were trying to get permission at that time to take, there was a, if I'm not mistaken, an Anglican church that had been closed. Mm-hmm. And we were hoping that the government would give us that building so that we could use it for an evangelical church. And, of course, that didn't happen, and Saddam Hussein was toppled. Mm-hmm. And within a month, Sammy Dagger started this congregation, which today is the largest evangelical group in Baghdad. But the problem in Baghdad is there have been so many bombings, and other churches. Now, when I say churches, these would not be necessarily evangelicals. I'm talking about Coptic Church. I'm talking about the Catholic churches. They're Presbyterians and some others, and many of them have had bombs explode either in the church or near the church, and the Christian community in Iraq has been decimated. These people have left by the thousands. This is a community that a few years ago was about 3 million, and today it's down somewhere, I've been told, under 700,000. And it's the people have just left the country because the Muslim extremists have terrorized them and have made it so fearful for them that they cannot live in Iraq anymore. Under Saddam Hussein, Saddam Hussein was not a Islamist at all. He was a secularist. Mm. Now, he was a Muslim, but he didn't follow the Quran. He was just a secularist. Mm. And he supported the Muslim extremists to a little bit. But when the Christians came along and the Christians wanted something, he supported them too. And he prevented the Christian population from being annihilated in his country. He really protected them. But now that Saddam Hussein is gone, it's sad that with democracy, the minorities in Iraq have not been protected under the U.S. presence. And it's just sickening to see that the Christian community in this country have been treated this way. And when I say Christian community, I'm not saying that they're all evangelicals, but they were Christian by name. They followed the name of Christ. And whether they followed him in the heart or not, I don't know. God knows those things. But they did follow the name of Christ, and these people have been persecuted and suffered for it. But the work in Baghdad is doing extremely well. The church is growing. Samaritan's Purse has moved and shifted most of our work up into the northern part of Iraq, a place called Kurdistan. And there we have built a community center. We're able to do evangelism. We're able the government up there, even though it's part of the Iraqi government, it's controlled by the Kurds. And the Kurds have been persecuted by the Muslims. And even though they're Muslims themselves, they have been persecuted by the Muslims. And it's interesting how God has opened the door and has given us favor in this part of Iraq. We have not only an opportunity to preach the gospel and do ministry up there, but the government there is supporting it and is backing it. And there are a lot of Christians in the southern part of the country, in Baghdad and so forth, that have fled up into the Kurdish areas, and the Kurdish people are taking the Christians in and letting them build their homes and letting them build churches and letting them worship. So God is at work in the Kurdish areas. I remember when I was in Iraq back 30 years ago, there were missionaries there that were praying for the Kurds and praying that one day God would open up a ministry among the Kurds. And now, 30 years later, Samaritan's Purse has a ministry among the Kurds.
Beautiful. Franklin, all over our country and others, millions of shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child are being prepared. Can you tell us a couple of stories? I know there are so many, but you have stories about people who prepared them and people who received them. Give us a couple highlights.
Well, it's. I remember there in Albuquerque just a few years ago, speaking the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and of course, you know, multiple services. There was a little girl that came back to your office between services, and She asked if she could speak to Mr. Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when she said Graham, I knew she went from around there. Didn't know where she was from, but she came in and she had her shoebox. And she said, Mr. Graham, she said, could you take my shoebox for me? And, you know, people do this all the time, and I'm glad to take them. I personally can't carry all the shoeboxes that somebody hands to me, but I wanted to take the box from the girl and show my appreciation. And then she turned to me and she said, Mr. Graham, she said, about 10 years ago, I was a refugee from Bosnia, and I was living in Croatia, and it was a cold, cold December. And we heard that some Americans were coming with gifts for us children. She said, we were so excited, and day after day we wondered, will this be the day they come? And she said, then the day came, and she said, Mr. Graham, you came. And she said, we had been living in tents. She said, we had not bathed in several months because of the cold. There was no hot water. And she said, our clothes smelled, our bodies smelled, our bedding smelled. And she said, I remember when I got in my shoebox, I ran back to my tent, and I opened my shoebox. And she said, everything smelled so clean.
Hmm.
And she said, there was a wool hat, and I remember pulling it over my ears and the warmth that that hat gave to me.
Wow.
And there were little wool gloves, and I put those on my hands, and inside was a doll, and I picked up that doll, and I had held that doll.
Beautiful.
And the comfort that that gave to me. And she said, Mr. Graham, she said, I've now immigrated to the United States. She said, I'm now going to the University of New Mexico. She said, I'm coming to this church. I've got a job at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I have packed a box. Mr. Graham, would you take my box and give it to a girl like I was 10 years ago?
Beautiful.
And, you know, I thought, here it's gone full circle.
Yep.
Here was this girl who was a refugee who had lost some of her family, who got a box and what that box meant to her. And now she's living there in New Mexico, going to the University of New Mexico. It had a job at Walmart, going to your church, of mm-hmm. all places. And she wanted me to take her box. And so every box is different. And listen, here, this is what's really important. People ask me, what should we put in a box? What's the most important thing? Prayer. Now, I don't say take the lid off a box and pray a real quick prayer and shut the lid down on top and try to trap the prayer in the box. I'm not talking about that. But God knows who's going to get that box. I don't. Just like that little girl in that refugee camp when we were there handing out and I remember being in that camp, and I can tell you it was so stinking cold.
Mm-hmm.
It was below zero. In this part of the world, it normally doesn't get that cold. And it was like 10 below. And I was cold. And I was only outside for an hour or so, and I got chilled to the bone. So I know what that girl went through. I remember being there. I don't remember her, but I remember being there and how cold it was. But here, God had a box for that little girl. And God had a plan for that little girl. And now she's in New Mexico, and I don't know where she is today. She may be married with kids of her own. I don't mm-hmm. know. But every box is important. And if we pray, and the point I want to get across. If we pray, God will hear those prayers. And if we pray for the children around the world who get these boxes, that God will use that gift, use your gift, use your box to somehow communicate God's love to that child. I believe God will hear those prayers and he will answer those prayers. You know, people ask me, how do you give away 8 million boxes? Or how do you give away 8 million anything?
Mm-hmm.
We do it through the churches. We collect them through churches like yours, just like there in Albuquerque. And we ask for people to pray and pray as those boxes go. And then we distribute them through the churches around the world. Every country we go to, we work through the churches. The churches I partner. And when I say the church now, we're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. These are Baptists. These are Pentecostals. These are Methodists. These are Anglicans. There's all kinds of evangelical groups out there. And we work with the evangelical churches. Churches that are not evangelical, listen, I'm not going to work with you. Because I want these boxes, I want you to make Christ known. If they're just going to give the box away to put a smile on a kid's face, I don't want to just put a smile on a kid's face.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put a smile in their heart. I want them to come to know Christ. I want them to know that their sins are forgiven. I want them to know that these are saved. I want them to know that there's a Savior who loves them, who died for them, who's wanting to have a relationship with them. I want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Operation Christmas Child is an evangelistic program. That's what it's all about. It's evangelism, reaching a lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Franklin, you put something in those boxes besides the toys that we put in. You put a tract in, right?
Well, what we do is we offer the track with the boxes. See, I don't know where the boxes are going to go, so mm-hmm. I could put a French right. track, and it goes to a part of the world that speaks German. So what we do is with every box, we send tracks. And it's not a track. It's actually a little gospel booklet that explains mm-hmm. Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. We talk about God sending his Son, Jesus Christ, God's greatest gift, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the booklet explains what Christmas is, what Christ did, why he was born, why he came to this earth, why he gave his life as a sacrifice for us, why he shed his blood on the cross, why he was raised from the dead, and what he can do today in a person's heart. So this gospel booklet that we give them is, we have like in 70 different languages.
Wow.
So whatever part of the world we send the box to, we've got the literature to go with it.
Franklin, you run two organizations. Tell us what's ahead in the next year, 2010, for Samaritan's Purse and the BGEA.
Well, first of all, at the BGEA, we have probably we've got 10 crusades coming up, and this is a real stretch for us, not only financially, but just having the manpower to go into a city and to organize this and to train the people that need to be trained and to instill into the hearts of the churches that we're coming for evangelism and get them to understand that this is an opportunity to reach their lost. So we've just got a number of opportunities in front of us, and of course, at Samaritan's Purse, we're going to keep just doing the same old, same old. And every time there's a storm, every time there's a war, every time there's a tsunami or an earthquake, we're going to pack our bags and we're going. And we're going to try to find a way to minister the Lord Jesus Christ in a very difficult situation. When people are hurting and dying, I think it's a great opportunity to go in and help them and love them. And when it's all said and done, they're going to say, well, why did you come? And that gives us the opportunity to tell them about God's Son, Jesus Christ.
Well, Franklin, I appreciate you personally, and we appreciate the fact that you preach a no-nonsense, uncompromising gospel message. Thanks for that.
Well, it's a privilege to be able to preach the gospel. It's there's just no greater privilege. No greater opportunity than to tell someone about God's love.
Well, thank you for doing that. God bless you, Franklin. Thanks for the
interview.
Thank you.
God bless each and every one of you.
Take the time to make the connection. Take the time to make the connection.
Well, thanks, Skip and Franklin. And thanks for joining us on this special First Friday edition of The Connection. And that's all the time we have for this interview, but there was a lot more in the conversation between Skip and Franklin. In fact, they talked for over 45 minutes and covered a lot of material we just could not fit into this broadcast. But you can hear the entire interview online at connectionradio.org. You can also order a CD of this conversation between Skip and Franklin by calling 1-800-922-1888. And before we go, the Christmas season is in full swing, so if you'd like to get some Christmas shopping done early, here are some ways we can help with that.
Think for a minute. At the end of your life, will you look back on possessions or on people?
The way God loves me, that's how I'm going to love you, Jesus says. This rich, beautiful relationship.
Relationships are an intricate part of the fabric of life. They can be fulfilling or they can be full of pain. You need to know the biblical principles that will make your relationships healthy. Learn from the women of the Bible in the new Fresh Life study, Live Relationally, The Women of Genesis. Plus, you can also learn how the stories Jesus shared revealed truths about the kingdom of God in the study, Live Deeply, The Parables of Jesus, written by Lenny Heitzik and Penny Rose.
Generally, we go for a relationship, whereas it tends to be that men will say, well, I'm a banker or, you know, whatever it is. It's what I do that defines me. But I find that for women, it's who we love that define us.
This Christmas, you can get both of these new Fresh Life studies for women. Pages of practical instruction for just $20 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, with every order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring photos taken by Skip Heitzik. You'll find all of these offers and more in this year's Connection Christmas catalog, available online at connectionradio.org. Or we can email you a copy when you call 1-800-922-1888.
So call our Resource Center at 1-800-922-1888 to find out more about these special offers by having us send you this year's Christmas catalog. Or visit our website, connectionradio.org, and look through it online. You can also request a copy when you write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Also, make sure you ask about Skip's upcoming teaching tour of Israel. You can sign up now for this unforgettable 2010 trip to the Holy Land. Find out more when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. And come back Monday as Skip Heitzig begins a brand new series called The Royal Road of Love.
Take the time to make the connection. Take the time.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.